Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor, with another episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Hardwood Handicappers is sponsored by Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball takes into cash. Download the Better app and use code VSINPOD to get $10 free. No deposit needed. That is VSINPOD, V-S-I-N-P-O-D. We have a link for that in the description. Today is Tuesday, November 25th. We are recording this at 9:15 a.m. Eastern. I am joined by the former co-host of this podcast and the current co-host of A Numbers Game, Kelly Bidlin. How are you doing?
Doing great, Zach. Ready to be back on Hardwood Handicappers. Let's bleep and go, man. Come on. Been loving the podcast so far. It's been awesome that you've been doing this the past few weeks now, running through game by game. As we long discussed in past years, man, there's really nobody out there doing it every day, an NBA betting podcast like this. So it's great, I think, for even casual fans and people that don't even bet that much. I always say, listen to the bettors. They know more about these teams, more about these games than anybody else. And Zach, you're doing an awesome job every day, man. So happy to be here. Happy to be back on, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I will say, it sounds like Gil has the NBA bug this year, and you guys are doing a lot of NBA on A Numbers Game, which is on 10 a.m. Eastern to 1 p.m. Eastern on VSiN's network and, you know, Sirius XM, wherever you can find us. So I've been excited to hear you guys talking a little bit more hoops lately.
Yeah, we have you on every Thursday, and yes, a nice cavalcade of great NBA minds on the show. But yeah, you know, we bumped out to 3 hours too, I think, especially once we get into the springtime. It's going to be a lot of NBA on ANG. So yeah, looking forward to it, man.
All right, so I like to recap a little bit of what we saw last night before we get into the night's games. I'm wondering if you saw anything that you thought was noteworthy. The only thing that I really have down here is that I thought Tyler Hero looks really good, pretty sharp, you know, considering it was his first game back. It didn't look too bad offensively. I think that, you know, this is a team that was thriving without him. And I think that, you know, just adding him back into the mix is going to be huge. But went 12 for 18 from the field, had 24 points. You know, it could have been a situation where he came in and kind of stopped the ball and just like everything looked ugly. I don't think it did.
Yeah, this is, I think, what the Miami Heat, one of the stories of the season so far in the NBA, I think, for at least especially for bettors. I think we knew that this system change was coming offensively and all interested to see how it was going to look and work. And oh my God, I mean, the pace and possession numbers are just out of control. And I think there was a lot, I don't know about you, Zach, but like, I feel like I heard a lot of people the past week or two being like, yeah, I don't know how Hero's going to fit into it. He's a guy who's been a little bit more screen dependent in the past. And I think with him never really being the true, like, number one dude in Miami, I wasn't as worried about that. So I think a great, you know, great debut from him last night. I think he's going to end up fitting in this system just fine. I think this is, I just think it's perfect for the collection of talent that they have there, whether it's a Hero, whether it's a Norman Powell, whether it's a Wiggins. Just knowing that not everything's got to flow through one guy. You get the ball, you can attack, go, go, go. You get the ball, you got to look to shoot, put it up. I think it's really fascinating. I think this Heat team is going to be very fun throughout this regular season. I think they're going to end up being very good in the regular season too. Now, how does this translate over to the postseason once we get there? I got my questions about that. But man, hey, the way they're playing, the way Khalil Ware put up numbers last night once again is damn impressive. This is going to be a really fun team, I think, to watch throughout the season.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that they're going to be a really good regular season team. Can maybe beat someone in the playoffs, but not everyone. So I don't think that they're a team that's going to make the finals. But I do think that, you know, Hero being back, even though, like you said, he is a little bit screen dependent, I think that he would probably like to be running some pick and rolls in an ideal world. But he is a good isolation scorer. He is a good floor spacer. So just having him and not relying so much on Norman Powell is going to be big for them. The other one thing that I,
and that's the part, Zach, like that's the one with two with like the Heat and Tyler Hero. It's like, all right, Tyler Hero, you're not LeBron James, Dwayne Wade. You haven't accomplished enough to get back in Eric Spoelstra or Pat Riley's face and say, nah, this all needs to run through me. Like, no, you're a part of the system. And I think that's Miami always wants to be that way. But I think that's why this is all going to work. None of these guys are big enough names to be demanding the ball and all the action going through them.
Yeah, and it's the type of thing like where they had so much success without him that he couldn't just come back and be like, no, we're playing my way. Like,
right,
he needs to fit in. There's a few situations like that around the league, with Atlanta being one of them too. But yeah, he could not just come in and start causing problems right away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then the one other thing for me was, man, like I had a really good night last night, but was really close to having a great night if the Pelicans did not bench Derek Queen against the Bulls for whatever reason that was. They were up double digits all game, played 17 minutes or something like that, had 4 assists. I needed 5. This is a guy that was playing 30 plus. I do not know what happened there, but oh, it was a tough loss. I mean, he looked like he was going on his way to hitting not only the 5, but I did ladder that up to 7. So could have been a really big night, but ended up just being a decently good night.
Oh, I'm feeling so bad for you, Zach Cohen. Feeling so bad. I forgot I was coming in here hot on this podcast. Coming in, I smashed my remote at some point last night because I just want everybody to know that whenever I see Zach Cohen opposite of me on a game, which happens more than anybody else in my betting life, I feel like it's Zach Cohen oppo me on a game. And I was on Pistons. You were on Pacers last night. Pistons just crapped down their leg in the final few minutes, giving up that big run. Yeah, they go on to win 13 in a row. Whoop-de-doo if you're a Pistons fan. Detroit basketball, yay, it's back. Good teams win 13 in a row. Great teams cover, Zach Cohen. I was pissed at that. I knew I was going to be coming on this pod doing it with you today. You were going to have a win under your belt. I was going to have an L. But kind of an ugly betting for me, a night for me last night, actually. Rockets got home. That was nice. I was in on that one early, even though there was a completely missed handicap by me on that game. I won't go into details on that. Let's see. I also had the Timberwolves laying 8.5, got in on early on a nice number. They pissed that one away down the stretch as well. They were up like 10 with like a minute and a half left as well. So that was no fun. A couple others I just wanted to bring up real quick. I mean, Detroit, as much as I'm giving them crap, like they are, this is incredible what they're doing. Toronto Raptors don't look now, have won 8 in a row, beating a talented Cavs team. I think that was big time last night. And then I know this has been going around, Zach, just wanted to bring it up. Bucks lose to the Blazers 115-103. Have you looked at the on-off numbers for Giannis? It's awful. Insane, man. On the court, plus 7.6, there are 125.2 per 100 possessions. And then off the court, minus 12.9, 105.6. Like, this is a completely different basketball team. I mean, breaking news, Giannis Antetokounmpo is really good at basketball. But, like, this says more about what we talked all summer about, all offseason, of the lack of talent around him. And really, what is this team going to be able to do if he's not on the floor putting up big numbers every time?
Yeah, it's like they've pieced together a pretty decent roster when he is out there. Like, these guys complement him pretty well, but when he is out, they're awful. And, like, when you see them play this poorly when he's injured, he is completely justified in whatever he wants to do. If he wants to move out of there and find another spot, like, you can't really blame him at this point. But I do think the team, once they get him back, will be decent again, but that's really not saying much. Like, that's one of the best players in the league and a player that I have an MVP play on, so who knows?
Yep. Yeah, where are we at on Keontae George watch for most improved player, real quick aside? I know we got games to get to, but
I was going to bring up MIP a little bit later on, so let's wait a little bit. Let's dive into tonight's games first. So we'll start with the Hawks at the Wizards. This game starts at 7 p.m. Eastern. The Hawks are laying 10.5. Total's 235.5. I don't have a play on a side or a total in this one. I know JVT texted us and he thinks he's leaning towards Wizards plus 10.5. Do you have anything here?
Yeah, I leaned to that side myself. As I texted back to the group, though, I cannot bet on this team. I cannot bet on the Washington Wizards. It's not something I feel like doing on a Tuesday evening and spending my time watching and sweating that bet. It's a great rest advantage spot for them, though. I mean, 4-5 for the Hawks. We know they've been traveling all around the country. It would be Wizards or nothing. You're catching 10.5 points right now at home. That would be the side I would lean to, probably lean to the under as well in this game. I just pulled up some of these Wizard numbers last night, man. They are 1-15 on the season now, minus 15.9 net rating outside of garbage time. Minute that over at cleaningtheglass.com. Yeah, last year, Zach, they finished last in the NBA with minus 12.7. Like, this is we don't usually focus on just epically bad teams year over year, but like, that's what the Washington Wizards have been, currently are, even with, I think there was a little bit of hope with some of the like vets that were added, you know, Middleton and everybody that was added, that maybe they'd win a few more games. This is ugly. They're doing another great job of tanking. So I'm not going to get involved with that side. It would be Wizards, though, if I had to play it. I'll ask you, Mr. Prop Man. I mean, is this like a Jalen Johnson just like tears them apart night? I mean, he's been on a sick tear recently.
It could be. Johnson's been really good. I think that Alexander Walker is going to have a really good game. Okay. I have over 22 and a half points and assists for him. He's had 27 plus in four of the last five. He's played 34 plus minutes in all five of those games. And the Wizards, you know, yeah, we just said they're a terrible team. They're bottom 10 in the league against transition, spot up shooting, PNR ball handlers. There's just a lot of like really good ways for a player like Alexander Walker to kind of get his buckets. And I do think he'll have some assists as well. It is weird with Washington, though, like moving to a different point, like they're terrible, but at the same time, there are so many flashes from so many of the young players. So it's kind of a perfect situation where, like you said, they're tanking very well. But I do think that they have some players on this current roster that will be part of the core moving forward. Like I think Sarr has been really good in year two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I think that there is, look, it's a transition period. It's just a. Unfortunately, you got to start when you're going to start asking the question. It's just it is a lottery, right? If you don't get lucky and get the number one or, you know, top few of you know, looks like we're going to have a good class here. But I don't know. I feel like someone tells me that every single year in the NBA draft that we got a great class. You know better than me, though, that's for sure. It sounds like we're supposed to have another great class, but it's like, man, the losing gets so old when you're not out there landing one of the top guys every year. And that is just this team's tough to watch, tough to take right now. I hear you, though. There are some younger guys that have some upside.
Yeah, this class is really, really good. I mean, it's a completely different topic, but like there are three guys in this class that are viewed as legitimate franchise changers. And then like you look at the guys from like 4 to 10, and there are a few of them that would have been number one picks in like down years. Like I was writing a little bit about this last night. There's this guy, Nate Amon, who plays for Tennessee. Like he's like almost the same exact player to Zachary Risacher to me. And that was a number one pick 2 years ago. So it's a loaded draft class. There's been some, you know, hot takes, I think, from like Kevin O'Connor. I don't know if it was him himself, but someone else said that, like, you know, Cooper Flagg would have gone like sixth of this draft. I don't know if I agree with that, but there are some really, really good players. So the bad teams will be getting lucky this season.
Okay, I like that. 41 plus PRA for Jalen Johnson at -120. I don't hate that. I don't hate that at all. He has been putting up big time points, rebound, assist numbers here recently.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Magic at 76ers. Magic laying 2.5, total 228.5. This is another game that this game tips at 8 p.m. Eastern. I actually do have a side in this one. I'm taking the Magic on the money line. I just think that you look at what happened since the hot start to the season for Philly, 4-6 in their last 10, net ratings -1.9, starting to get a little bit healthier. I think Paul George is back. Joel Embiid is questionable tonight. I made the prediction of saying he would play through his questionable tag last game. I don't want to do that again. You never know with him, but Kelly Oubre Jr. is out. Meanwhile, Magic 7-3 in their last 10, net ratings +6.8. Historically, under Jamal Mosley, this has been a good team as a road favorite, 26-18 straight up. Also, 10-4 when playing a team that they lost to earlier in the year as a road favorite. So kind of a revenge spot, kind of a spot where you think they're not going to lose to a team that they're better than twice. And I will add that Nick Nurse, 9-31 straight up in Philly as a home underdog.
Yeah, I like it, Zach. Definitely was leaning Orlando's way myself. I'll be watching this game. I think it's one I'll probably be attacking live instead of pregame. But slightly into the Orlando side, I'm with you on Philadelphia. Coming back down here a little bit, but I'm still so fascinated by them of the high upside young talent they have and trying to mix it here with Embiid and Paul George and how that's going to work out. I do think there's some interesting injury stuff tonight, right? Like we're gonna have Edgecombe's gonna be out, right? You like you said, Embiid questionable. You don't want to guess on that. But then you look at the Orlando side, man, they got a lot of bigs they're gonna be missing in this game, right? But Batadze's questionable. Banchero, I mean, obviously Banchero's out, Mavagner's out. Wendell Carter Jr. with a probable tag, so maybe he goes. I'm glad you said it first. Like, I don't want to guess on Embiid games, but feels like this is a front line he'd want to come back and try to attack right now with just being a little thin. So I guess that's where I'm leaning as well, as he probably goes in this game and could cause the Magic problem down low. But man, it's such a drastic shift for the Sixers of when Embiid is in there and when he's not in there for this team. I'm going to wait on this one. I'll get involved live. I think that's what's so great about the NBA and betting the NBA is you don't have to take a stance pregame on some of this stuff. Wait for injury news to develop here throughout the day. That might be a more clear situation here, even in just a few hours, of what both of these both of these front lines are going to look like for these teams. Then you can get a little bit better idea. I doubt at this point I'm doing anything pregame. And we'll just look live, but I'm with you. I lean to that Orlando side as well.
Yeah, and like part of me thinks that they'd just be better off like putting Embiid on ice for like a month or two again and just hoping that like all of his knee problems just get a little bit better. But at this point, it just doesn't seem like that even matters. Like it just thinks that it's like this is going to be happening whether or not, you know, he sits or not. So that doesn't seem like a solution. Like it's just going to be a problem the rest of his career. So I don't think that necessarily works.
I mean, it's so fascinating because I think you have the possibility of having a good team in Philadelphia that has a chance of contending in, I don't want to say a down Eastern Conference, right? Because I think we all think the floor is higher than what it was heading into the season, right? But I also don't know that there is that premier team too that feels unbeatable at this point, right? Cavs, Knicks coming into the year is what we always slotted as 1-2. I don't know that anything's changed that in my mind, but neither one of them has done it. I mean, I don't know how you feel, Zach, but I don't think either of them has been as impressive as I thought they were going to be. And I think that East, if you're Philadelphia, you got to look at it and say, hey, this is one we can go attack and actually win. So at some point, if you're not assuming Embiid's going to always be hurt, which I know it's probably hard not to do, but you gotta think he's going to be healthy sometimes. You got to get this team out on the floor and actually figure out how they're all going to play together, right? Like, it's nice that you have options for when he's in and when he's out, but you got to figure out how this is all going to work. And I'm with you. Like I would kind of want to throw him on ice, too, and figure that out, like, in January, February. But when is too late then? It becomes a question. So I don't know, man. This is going to be really interesting to watch with Philadelphia here the next few weeks.
Yeah, and I should note, like, these are NBA Cup games. I have not brought it up because I don't think that they matter that much for those two games we just talked about. I mean, we're talking about a Magic team that is 2-0 in group play, 76ers 0-2 with a point differential of minus 10. So I just don't think that they have a real shot of getting into it unless they, you know, win this game by 25, which I don't really think is on the table. And then the other game, Hawks and Wizards, it's the Wizards are, you know, pretty much out of it at minus 63 and 0-2. The Hawks need a big win. So I think that's why you're seeing a bit of an inflated spread. So that is why I did not bring it up. I don't think that those games really matter much for it. But game number three that we're going to talk about, it is a little bit important because the Lakers and Clippers are both 2-0 in West Group B. Lakers have a plus 19 point differential, Clippers plus 2. This game tips at 11 p.m. Eastern, so it's the game that none of my friends on the East Coast are going to want to watch. And the Lakers are 6.5-point favorites. Total's 228.5. Do you have a play in this one?
Yeah, I do have one in this. Man, the start times are ridiculous. These Peacock start times, it's just insane. I feel like it caught us all off guard. We're like, who came up with this idea? 11 o'clock Eastern? Like, people were already complaining about NBA games going too late. So just to reset, we'll go back real quick to the NBA Cup. So these are NBA Cup games all this week, and then we finish up group play. I was just pulling up dates to see when the group play wrapped up. I didn't realize we were doing NBA Cup all week this week. All right, let's go.
Yeah.
Yes, I am in on the Lakers. This is, I think if I was more confident, Zach, in what LeBron's fit was with this team right now, what Kawhi's fit was with the Clippers, this would probably be a pretty big smash spot for me tonight on the Lakers. But I got to dial it back a little bit just because of that. If just still LeBron being worked in, still Kawhi being worked in to this team. But this is a big time. This is one of my bigger rest advantage spots that I've had in the season so far. Clippers coming off 4-5, six straight road games. They did lose to some quality opponents out there and beat up Charlotte. They've also played a really tough schedule so far. I think that needs to be pointed out. There's a lot of Clippers hate coming down these days. It's been a tough schedule. I will give them that. But, man, it's 1-8 in their last nine, 4-4 ATS over that time. They got a minus 9 net rating. They're 20th in offense over that time, 25th in defense. There's really nothing working all that well, except for what James Harden has these just explosion games, which I think he's capable. I think he could do again tonight. Like, I don't think all season we're going to be looking at quality guards going up against the Lakers and say, you don't have a chance. Cause I don't think there's just not that defensive backcourt for the Lakers with all the offensive firepower they have with Austin Reeves and Luka and everybody. Meanwhile, look, Lakers have been great. This is a team that I think I was off on, maybe wildly off on heading into the season. I still questioned how the pieces were all going to fit around Luka Doncic. And that needed to be the focus for the Lakers. And man, all these guys have been better really than what I was expecting, especially DeAndre. It starts with him. He's been incredible. I know he's not going to be playing in this game tonight. I think that is big to factor in as well. I think it's another thing that if he was playing would lean me a little bit further to liking the Lakers. But man, with the rest advantage they have, and then you're talking about 8-2 in their last 10 games, 6-2 in the last eight, they've got a plus 1.9 net rating. They're about middle of the road offense and defense. We've actually seen them play even better ball in the past, but I like them. And back home, we know, look, it's Lakers Clippers, but we know this is going to be the heavy Lakers home crowd as well in that game. So like the Lakers tonight, I laid the 5.5 already.
Yeah, I was off on the Lakers a little bit too. I mean, I thought that the Ayton stuff would work. I thought that injuries would kind of get them, and they still might. Like, I don't think it's a lock that Luka or LeBron stays healthy the rest of the season. Both guys deal with a lot of injuries on and off, you know, pretty much every season, but they are off to a really hot start. It would take a lot for them to not go over their win total at this point. And I did say yesterday on the show, like, I think that minus 200 is a great price for them to win the Pacific Division. And you could now get that at minus 190, which is even crazier because, you know, the Warriors, I don't think that they've looked good at all. I mean, they did win last night, but man, I think that the Lakers have a nice little lead in that division. I don't think the Suns are going to challenge for it. So I still think at minus 190 that's playable.
Man, I like it. I like it. I think the Lakers are the team to beat in that division right now. My only concern would be laying that kind of price this early in the year. That is my only point of concern on November 25th would be laying that kind of number this early in the season. But look, the way it started so far, I'm with you. They're the team to beat.
Yep. And I was considering James Harden player props for tonight as well, because like you said, I don't think the Lakers have the best, you know, perimeter defense, and Harden has been scorching hot. I did notice though, like, the scoring numbers have been down when Kawhi plays. So it's not at all, you know, all or nothing hero effort from him. The player that I did notice plays well with Kawhi Leonard, and I am taking this, Chris Dunn over 5.5 points at minus 125. This is kind of like my Nick Batum play that you and Gil loved so much. You don't know how it's going to happen. It's not a great offensive player, but Dunn has had 6+ points in 5 of the last 6 games he has played with Kawhi, 9+ points in the last 2. He had 9 points against the Cavaliers on Sunday. He's made at least 1 3 in the last 6 games he has played with Kawhi, so has been able to knock down shots, even though he's not the greatest knockdown shooter. And the Lakers are a bottom 5 team at guarding spot-up shooting. So I think there's going to be opportunities for Dunn to make some shots here. I think he's going to be comfortable shooting in this building, and I do think that Dunn is a player that can score a little bit in transition and just like as a cutter, as a driver. So I think that that's a really low number, and I don't think you're paying too much juice on it. So that's what I have here. It was a Clippers lean for me, but not strong enough to play. So I don't think that that's me against you. I think you should be okay in terms of fading me. But
maybe I can win a bet tonight.
That is how I felt about this game.
Yeah, I like that Chris Dunn play a lot, actually, because you would think they're going to need his defensive presence out there with Luka and Austin Reeves and everybody that the Lakers are going to throw in the backcourt. He's been averaging a good amount of minutes already, but the Clippers are banged up. But that was always a question beginning of the season, right, was how are they going to utilize him and some of these other guys with the bench being so deep. But, you know, the old bench and some injuries are starting to mount. I think he should get a lot of run tonight. And when you start looking at player props that are that low, that's kind of where I always start, is how many minutes you're going to get, first of all, how many shots you're going to possibly get up. But I like that. I think with that, with the Lakers guys out there, the star players out there, he's going to get a lot of court time, a lot of minutes played tonight. What do you think about Zoo? Zoo overs catch your eye at all tonight with Ayton out? I mean, they're going to be thin down low.
I thought about Zoo. Zoo is part of the reason that I think that the Clippers were my lean. I just think that there's a chance that he really impacts this game around the basket. Yeah. Although I'm like, I feel weird about Zoo now that Ty Lue called Bradley Beal their third best player a couple of weeks ago. I don't know what he thinks about that about him anymore, because I thought that Zoo was for sure their third best player. But yeah, I think that there's a chance that he has a really big game.
Yeah, 33-18 his last time out. I think he knows where he fits in that pecking order. I'm with you there, though. I don't know if I'm not putting Bradley Beal ahead of him anytime soon.
All right. Well, I want to pick your brain on some futures, but first I want to say attention to any listeners who are new to VSiN. Signing up for our new free daily newsletter is a great way to catch up. Delivered straight to your inbox every morning, VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, and strategies for the day's betting menu. Sign up for free now at vsin.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That's vsin.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. All right. I wanted to talk some futures. The one I wanted to start with is we started to talk about it a little bit before. You said, you know, that the Cavaliers and the Knicks were the two teams heading into this season that we thought could win the Eastern Conference. Now I think that there's a really interesting scenario playing out where the prices in this conference are kind of all over the place. I wanted you to see if any grabbed your eye out of these ones. I'm going to read them all out to you. Tell me if any of them jumped out to you, because there is one that jumps out to me in a way that the Pacers did last year. All right, it's Cavaliers +280, Knicks +450, Pistons +800, Magic +950, 76ers 11-1, Hawks 11-1, Bucks 18-1, Heat 18-1, Raptors 25-1.
Well, like we talked about earlier, I think with the top of this conference not looking super impressive, I would have to go down the board a bit, and it would be the Miami Heat or the Toronto Raptors that I would be looking at. This Raptors team is, one of the few things I've gotten that I look smart about so far this season. I was heavy over on their win totals and then alts and everything. Man, I'm not really looking at this right. Fourth best team in net rating over at cleaning the glass right now, +8.6, 12-5 on the season. They've been great. They've been great offensively and defensively so far. I think I didn't really understand some of the doubts, Zach, with the Raptors that people had. There was a lot of, there's not enough shots to go around. The ball can't go around with Barrett and Ingram and those guys. I'm like, man, this is, and quickly. And I'm like, I don't know. I think this is like kind of like what we were talking about with the Heat before. Like, none of those guys have the right to be like, this thing's got to flow through me. Like, they've all had good seasons. Scottie Barnes, too. They've all had good seasons. They've all been good NBA players. None of them have been dominant enough to act like this whole team needs to revolve around them. I think we've seen a well-balanced offensive attack, upward pace, and the defense playing good team defense. So I like what the Raptors are doing right now. Is it sustainable? I think yes, to a degree. Are they a team that's going to dominate more in the regular season and then flame out in the playoffs? Yeah, there's probably that likelihood. But I do think they have some of the big-time shooters that could step up and cause some of that those upsets. I think Raptors and Heat, both regular season-wise, have high ceilings. I have more questions once they get into the playoffs. But, Zach, I think I'm more confident in the Raptors being able to make a charge in the playoffs than the Heat, actually.
Yeah, the Raptors were why I brought this up. Like, I just think the 25-1, given everything we've seen to start the year, is a little bit crazy. I mean, you just mentioned it, fourth in cleaning the glass and net differential, top five in both points per 100 and points allowed per 100. I think that, you know, this team started off really hot offensively and they were a little bit slower on the defensive end. And I kind of expected that they would climb up the defensive rankings and slide a little bit offensively. Nope, they're just sliding up. They're just going up in both. They've been better and better on both ends of the floor. And yeah, I have some question marks about what it'll look like in the postseason, because like even last year with the Pacers, like we love the team's depth. We love the way they played, but they had, you know, a legitimate number one option in Tyrese Haliburton that can go over and take over a game. I don't know that the Raptors have that. I mean, I've seen Brandon Ingram do some things in the playoffs. Like I am a Suns fan. There was a Pelican Suns, you know, series where Ingram turned into like prime Kevin Durant, just hit every turnaround jumper he took. And I do think that there is that side of him where he's just an electric shot maker and he does have the size. So maybe it's him. Maybe he just kind of gets hot and it helps them on a long run. But like going back to what you said before, I've seen more bad from good from the Cavaliers and Knicks. Like, I do not think the Knicks look all that good defensively. And I think, you know, having Karl-Anthony Towns is just a problem I know that he's a very good offensive player, but I think that a lot of teams feel they can exploit him on the other end of the floor. And the Cavaliers have been a little bit worse on both ends of the floor. And then also add in that they've had a lot of trouble staying healthy. So there are opportunities down the board. And I think it's crazy the Raptors, who are kind of already in that picture of not having to play through the play-in, are 25-1.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. And this is what I miss about doing this podcast. You know, us throwing out different ideas to each other, because that is one I hadn't really considered much. And I don't know, I might have to shop around some different ways of getting more involved with the Raptors. Although my futures card says I've got enough involved already. I would say that.
I remembered you were on alternates the other day, and I'm like, man, that's a pretty good position to be sitting in. Hopefully nobody gets hurt. I remember that.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't worry, Zach. I'll give you some of my Lakers unders if you'd like that, or Spurs unders or anything like that. Clippers overs. Really, really messed up those LA teams. Hopefully I get it right tonight.
All right, and then you mentioned Keyonte George, most improved player before. I have a little bit of that. The problem is now Jalen Duren's out at +170. He has been, like, easily a top-five center in the league. He looks almost like a bigger version of Amari Stoudemire to me, like the way that he finishes around the basket. Now he's added a little bit of a face-up game. He could drive, like, just spin unbelievable, and like a huge part of the reason that Detroit has been the number one team in the East. So we should have maybe talked about Detroit +800, but I will say it is starting to get a little bit tough for people like us that like to sprinkle the board in markets like these, because I do think there's a chance that Duren's running away with it. Do you view it as something that's still open, or you think that, are you kind of bracing for an injury or something?
I think we're too early to say that. I think we're too early to say that, but man, this has been my best betting award in any sport ever, period, in the lifetime of this award. I really got thrown last year with those results, though, Zach. I had nice Cade Cunningham tickets from before the season. I think last year alone proved that this can develop later in the year, and we could see a winner emerge. But, I mean, yes, has Jalen Duren looked amazing? Yes, he's looked absolutely amazing. Has Josh Giddey looked great? Yeah, he's looked great. And most improved player, we don't necessarily care about what you do in the playoffs or, you know, how far you take a team or anything. So I think Giddey's got that going for him. Just as the Bulls continue to just want to live in the play-in range and be that type of team, he's the guy that can carry him there. That's for sure. But I do think he's going to put up monster numbers this year. I think those two will be at the top of the board for most of this season. The one I want to bring up with you, because I can't remember if you bet him preseason. I know I was thinking about it. Actually, you did bet him preseason, I'm pretty sure. And I had gotten close to joining you. Never actually did, though, just confirming. Benedict Mathurin. Yeah. Missed games. Has he missed too many games? Has he already missed too many games? Maybe he has.
I hope not. I was forgetting there are award markets that do not have the 65 game limit, and I forget which one it is.
Most improved is one, though. You have to have.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so, you got to have 65 for him. So he's probably screwed already. Shit. Never mind. Yeah. He's probably screwed already. So there are a couple on this board. Like Mathurin, all right, I'd probably cross him out at 31. And Jalen Johnson, as much as we love the guy, this is where people get upset. It's not comeback player of the year in the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. Comeback player of the year, he'd be right up there, and deservedly so. And I know we get very angry in the NFL that, like, you know, comeback player of the year isn't looked at more as most improved. But he's a perfect example of a guy who would qualify for comeback player of the year that I think is going to be tough to win most improved, just improving on ridiculous stats that he's put up in shortened seasons because of injury in years past.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, I look at the board and I think that, like, the what we've seen kind of forming at the top really kind of feels like the race with those few players up there. The only player that I've seen kind of way down that I'm kind of interested in, and it's like it almost feels like too long of a shot, is Onyeka Okongwu, who's down there at like 150-1 for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think that the way that he's been playing lately, like, it might change soon if Porzingis gets healthier and just starts to cut into his minutes. But Okongwu all of a sudden is knocking down like 2-3 three-pointers a game and scoring 20 plus a night. And I wonder if that continues for a couple of weeks, if he kind of nudges his way up in the conversation.
Yeah. He could be there. I'm just scanning some of the other awards markets. I don't think anything else is jumping out to me as a bet right now, but man, I love that most improved market.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about sixth man of the year. That was the only one that I wanted to talk about also, because that's another one where, like, it seems the market's starting to say it's Jaquez, and Jaquez has been awesome for Miami this season. Huge bounce back year for him. but I don't know that I'd say that he should be the favorite right now. Like, I do think that there's a case for Reed Sheppard with the way that he's been coming on lately. I don't know if he's eventually going to move into the starting five and that ends up kind of ruining his case, but I do think that Sheppard has been every bit as good as Jaquez if we are talking about the award as of right now. So if you're just projecting out and saying he's not going to start, we don't know that for sure.
Yeah, I think that is interesting. If I had to make one bet right now, I'd probably join you. I think Jaquez should be the favorite. Should he be as short as he is? Yeah, I could probably push back on that as well. Reed Sheppard, the one thing you know you're going to get with him is because they don't even really have many other options, right, Zach? It's like he's going to get plenty of opportunities to shoot the ball. He's on a team that I had questions about the design of this team going into the season, but I don't anymore. I mean, it is Kevin Durant, take all the shots you want. We're going to rebound everything you miss and just get it right back to you. And Reed Sheppard's kind of one of the few other shooters, right, that fits into that of, hey, you're allowed to fire whenever you got a clear shot too. Big guys will clean it up down low. So, I'm with you. I think if I had to make a bet right now, it probably would be Reed Sheppard.
All right, and then anything else in the awards, Marcus, that you want to talk about or big picture? Just floor is yours.
No, not really. Nothing else really futures-wise jumping out to me. I think reminder, if Nikola Jokic ever drops out to 5-1 when any NBA season that you're betting, it is very worth your time to go grab a ticket. So I'm in on a lot of Jokic already and a lot of Con Knipple for Rookie of the Year. Nice to see he's moved into the favorite spot. So I'm heavily involved in those two markets so far. I took some longer shots in Defensive Player of the Year when the Wemby news first came down. I don't know that any of those are really working out so far. I took some Jalen Suggs. I still think it's like 250-1. It's kind of ridiculous. I just think it could be a wide open Defensive Player of the Year race. Are we really sure Chet Holmgren's going to stay healthy? How do you handle the next names down the list? Bam Adebayo never gets any love in this, even though he should. I think Draymond, Rudy Gobert will be in that conversation again this year, but. And I think it's right there for a longer shot to end up stealing this award. So I don't mind bets further down the board in that market. I think now is a good time to grab a couple long shots and see where this thing winds up.
Yeah, I'm with you in DPOY. I don't think it's going to be Wemby. I don't think he's going to play enough games. And I think that Holmgren, they just moved him into the favorite spot because, like, it was the easy thing to do. Like, he's just a player that is very good defensively. I don't think that he's done that this season. I actually took a long shot on Isaiah Hartenstein, who I think has been the best OKC defender to start this season. There are so many guys on that team, though, competing for it, that it's almost impossible to really pick one and actually feel good about them winning. But, yeah, it's a really fascinating market. Rookie of the Year, I actually got down on Coop a couple of days ago. I do think it would be Knipple right now, but hoping that Flag, you know, now that he's a reasonable price, can kind of make a push moving forward.
No, I'm probably, if he drifts much further, I'm going to have to play it back the other way too. Cause I do think most likely end of the year, he's the guy who ends up winning it, but just trying to grab prices right now. Right, Zach?
Yep. All right, if you think you could read matchups, rotations, and usage, prove it on Better Picks. Pick more or less on player stat lines and turn your basketball analysis into real money. Right now, use code VSINPOD to get $10 free, no deposit required. Make two sharp picks and you can win up to 1,000x your entry. Live in 33 states, download Better and get in the game. All right, well, we should recap our best bets before signing off. What do you have for tonight? Is it just the one play?
Yeah, just Lakers laying 5.5 for me.
Okay, and then I want to ask, because I know you do bet early, do you have anything for tomorrow that you're eyeing or that you're considering or, you know, thinking about?
No, I did not get a chance to look at that last night. Are odds out for tomorrow's games already? Wow.
I saw some.
They took forever to get Tuesday up, but apparently Wednesday they're no problem throwing up quick. Okay. Yeah, man, there are stuff. No, I have not been able to look through tomorrow's card yet. But anything I do, VSiN.com, I bet a lot of openers, so usually night before is when stuff is up for me.
Awesome. Yeah. And then on a numbers game, Kelly, they'll be talking NBA a lot. So definitely check that out as well. I have Nikhil Alexander-Walker over 22.5 points and assists tonight at -102. Magic Moneyline -120 against the Sixers. And then Chris Dunn over 5.5 points at -125 against the Lakers. Hopefully we have another good night. We've been doing pretty well over the last couple of days, trying to make up for a slow start to the season. But yeah, good luck with all of your bets tonight, and join me on the Wednesday episode of Hardwood Handicappers.